join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Three Dimensions of Love by Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marcia Bailey.
Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day. The day that we talk about love.
Your favorite, most memorable Valentine's Day?
Well, truthfully, I remember as a child going out of my way to make sure I got my mother a box of hearts. She usually was always dieting. Okay, and she really didn't eat them, but she would thank me, and that's what I remember. I remember Valentine's Day.
That's so sweet.
Always saving up. I want to make sure that I got my mother one of those. You know what I'm talking about? I didn't buy much for you because you didn't really eat candy like that either. Okay, the hearts. The heart thing.
Yeah. I would have liked one. No, I'm just joking.
Don't worry. You have been well taken care of on Valentine's Day. Don't let her fool you.
But that was so sweet of you.
Yeah.
You know, that you saved your money up and you wanted to make sure you got your mother something for Valentine's Day. I never knew that.
Yeah.
Never knew that.
I don't know, did y'all do anything special in school? In school,
the little boxes. The boxes.
With the different things on it.
The Valentine's Day card. We used to count how many we would get, you know. And you wanted to make sure you got some from the opposite sex.
Well, I don't know how y'all did that since you went to all-girls school.
High school.
What was going on?
All-girl high school, elementary school.
It was
co-ed.
You were co-ed?
Up into eighth grade.
I didn't know that.
Wow, we both finding out
so
stuff, huh?
I always thought, know your school was
all-girls
school.
In high school.
That was high school.
High school.
But elementary school, you had a boyfriend?
I had a few boys that liked it.
I thought I was your first.
I had a few boys that liked it, me. They liked it, me, real good.
I thought God saved you and spared you for me. That's why you went to all-girls school.
I went to all-girls school.
So no boys would get to you before I met you.
You know, at that time, we were, you know, of course, that was frowned upon. We could not date anyone. Of course, I couldn't date at home. But at school,
Dolores wasn't playing that.
My mom was not playing
that. Dolores was not playing that.
Not at all. But we used to look at each other and smile at each other, kind of flirt, blink your eyes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How'd you blink those eyes? Tell me how you blink those eyes. Oh, sookie. All right, okay. We got to get on with the word. So, on Valentine's Day, we talk about love.
We talk about love.
And we want to present today a discussion, a lesson about love. We're entitling this Three Dimensions of Love. Three Dimensions of Love. You know, Paul says, I pray that you would understand the height, the depth.
Yeah.
The width of the love of God.
Right.
Paul talks about love on three dimensions. When we think about love as the word is in the scriptures, particularly in the Greek from the New Testament, mm-hmm. There was three types of love. Mm-hmm. And that is phileo love, mm-hmm. okay, which is brotherly love. Mm-hmm. When you think about that, think about Philadelphia. Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. Mm-hmm. And then you had Eros love. Eros love is the romantic love.
It's what you have for me.
It's what we have for each other.
Yes, sir.
Right? Mm-hmm. Eros love, romantic love, mm-hmm. attraction love, mm-hmm. okay, emotional love. But then the highest form of love is agape love.
Right.
Or as I've heard some people, it sounds a little more spiritual, call it agape. Agape love. Agape or agape love is the highest form of love. And so I believe God, one of the scriptures tells us that God is love. Mm. So love starts with God.
Right.
God is the author of love. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. The Bible doesn't say he's the author and finisher of love. Know why? Come on, help me out. Why wouldn't he be the author and finisher of love, Pastor Marshall?
I don't know. He's all in.
Because love never ends.
Exactly. How can I go there? You didn't give me a chance.
Love never ends. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, everything else is going to end. Knowledge is going to end. Yeah. Wisdom, but love never ceases. Mm. So God is love. Mm-hmm. Love is God. Mm-hmm. God is perpetual. Mm. So love is perpetual, which really tells me, you know, this whole thing about people, you know, having, I don't mean no harm. This is not about trying to put shade on anybody.
Where you going?
But, you know, you have three husbands, four husbands, three wives, four, and you used to love them, but you don't love them no more. And you fall in love, out of love with them, and then you fall in love with somebody else, falling out. You know, I don't really know about that because I really believe if God has anything to do with it. Now, you sometimes relationships don't work out,
right.
and situations change. But I believe if you ever love anybody, you always love them if it's really love. Because real love is rooted in God. All right? Let's look at Matthew 22 here. Matthew 22, 25 through 39. It says, then one of them, which was a lawyer. Now, lawyer here doesn't mean one who tries cases. Okay? But a lawyer here means an expert in the Jewish law. He said, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him or testing him. Saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Talking about the law of Moses. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Again, three elements of love, heart, soul, and mind. And then he says, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So Jesus said the greatest of all the commandments. Another place, we see several places in scripture, he says that all the commandments, okay, particularly if you want to go back to the Ten Commandments, okay, you have the commandments that deal with God, mm-hmm. and then the rest of them deal with our relationship with one another. Don't steal, don't kill. Don't bear false witness. All those things is about how we treat other people. And the first one is that you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. And so when we talk about love on three dimensions, the love on three dimensions is mentioned there in Matthew 22, 37, and then verse 39. First, we love God. And then you got to look a little deeper here. Verse 39, and the second, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 39 really talks about two loves. Mm-hmm. It talks about loving your neighbor, right. But then it's kind of thrown in there, loving yourself. Yeah. So the three dimensions of love are loving God, loving your neighbor, mm-hmm. and loving yourself. Loving your God, I believe, has to, we can call that the height. That's our vertical love, mm-hmm. our love towards God. Okay, loving thy neighbor, that's horizontal love. Mm-hmm. Okay, but loving yourself is going a little deeper.
Yeah.
Is going internally, right. within yourself. And so we want to spend a little bit of time talking about that. First of all, I think it's so important for us to realize that loving God, first of all, is a response to him loving us. Mm. Okay, You just don't wake up one day and say, I just decided I'm going to love God. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't love God? What's wrong with you? Okay, I'm just gonna love the Lord. I just decided I'm gonna give Him my life. No, and we even talk about things like, you know, I found the Lord, right, and that kind of stuff. And we know what people mean. I came to to discover a relationship with the Lord. But the truth of the matter is, God wasn't lost. Mm-hmm. Jesus wasn't lost. Mm-hmm. We were lost. We were lost in trespasses and sins, the scripture says. But God really was seeking us out.
Yes, He was.
Because he loves us. So loving God is a response to Him loving us. And that's right there in 1 John 4:19. 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. You remember, one of the first songs we learned in Sunday school. Oh, how I love Jesus. You can go to Sunday school. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. You know the rest? Come on, Pastor Marshall. You've been around the church long enough. Why do we love Jesus?
Because He first loved Jesus.
There you go. Because He first loved me. And that scripture is based upon the 1 John 4:19. We love Him not because you were smart enough to love Him.
Right.
Not because you had such a big heart. We love Him in direct response to Him loving us.
Amen.
And watch this. And if you have not given your life to Jesus, if you have not made Him the center of your life, you simply have not requited the love. You know, I remember this from freshman year in high school. We studied Romeo and Juliet and Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. And we read it and dissected and flipped it over and turned it out and dissected and cut it apart. But one of the themes of the book of one of the themes of Shakespeare's play, Romeo and Juliet, is the concept of unrequited love. Unrequited love. Unrequited love means I love you, but you don't love me.
Right.
Unrequited love means it's not reciprocated. It's not returned. And until you are in a relationship with God and they receive Jesus, there's unrequited love. God does not love you when you start loving Him.
Right.
You love Him because He first loved you.
Amen.
He loves us first. He loves us first. So we love Him because He first loves us. That's something that really, if I get caught up in that, to really realize the love of God. That's why Paul says, that's in Ephesians, right?
Mm-hmm.
He prays, I want you to really understand.
Yeah.
Try to comprehend.
Yeah.
He says, I want you to understand it, but it's really incomprehensible.
Yeah.
I want you to understand, but I know you really can't. Is deeper than you can really understand. I at least want you to try to put your mind and grab this concept of God loving us. You know, and scripture tells us things like this. It says, greater love has no man than he would lay down his life for his friends. Okay? He said, it's nice if a friend loves you enough to sacrifice his life or put himself in harm's way for you. But then it goes and says, but God's love is deeper than that.
Yeah.
It said, because God commended His love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, He sent Jesus to die for us. Mm-hmm. He had faith that we would respond to His love. Mm. And we are saved today because when you get saved, all you're doing is responding to the love of God.
That's right.
You're saying, I thank you for loving me that much. You know, it's like sometimes, you know, when a relationship starts out. Okay, now I know it's a new day now, but I came along at a day and we've taught in the church. They even would teach us that the Bible said, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So the man should be searching. The man should be hunting. The woman just needs to be available to be found. Okay. But now women search out men today.
They do.
Women are trying to find a man today.
It's hard out here for some in the streets.
Women are
it's real.
Running after men. But traditionally, the man will go after the woman. Mm-hmm. And he would pursue the woman. Now you got women pursuing men. Women stalking men.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to make him love me. Okay. In the scriptures, the man went after the woman. And then the man would pay dowry to her family.
Right.
To show he even got something that's worth her.
Did you pay a dowry for me?
I'm still paying it.
I don't think you paid
it. Lord Jesus, God had to prosper me because you're so expensive.
Uh-huh. Praise God. Amen.
Because your price is far above
far
rubies.
Far above, my brother.
Far above far rubies. Above. Yeah. But usually a man would pursue the woman. And so if a man pursued her right, he always felt like even if she doesn't love me now, I'm going to make her love me. Remember that song? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna make you love me. Not you know
really,
that song?
Not really.
Don't sorry. Try acting you that young.
I'm sorry.
Yes, I will. How? Yes, I will.
When did that song
I'm
come
gonna
out?
Make you love me.
When did that song come out?
I think it may have been the Supremes, even, right?
Okay, well, that's.
Oh,
a
come
good
on. Don't even try. It ain't like you're a millennial, Pastor Marshall.
I'm not a millennial, but those years are like.
How many
dog
years is
years.
It? How it's, many years is between us?
It's like 10 years.
Y'all, now y'all know she's not supposed to lie on Valentine's Day.
Oh, but it feels
how
like
many years is it?
It feels like 10 years.
It's 3 years.
I know, but it feels like when it comes and to it, music and different things.
Anyway,
it's like 10 years.
The song used to say, "I'm gonna make you look." Mm-hmm. A man would try, and so he would try by buying her things. He would try by quote unquote wining her and dining her and mm-hmm. taking her out and buying her flowers and spending money. And then the goal was, if I do all this, I'm going to win her affection. I'm going to win her heart. I'm going to make her love me. God went through all that for us by
yes,
sending
he
Jesus.
He did.
Okay. And he still, for many of you, again, I don't know how this is becoming evangelistic like this,
it really is.
But for many of you, if you have on this Valentine's Day, if you have not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, he's saying, I did all that. I'm still trying to win your love. I want you to love me back. I love you unconditionally. And God does not, he's not getting to know us. He's not trying to see if how much of us he going to put out there like that. You know, people say, I'm careful. I've been hurt before. I'm not going to put myself out there like that. When he put Jesus out on the cross, okay, he put himself out like
yes.
that.
He loves us so much that he wanted us to be reconciled to him. And Jesus came to do just that. So often when we think about receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, think about what you can't do, what you have to give up, what you have to how you have to live. It's about receiving him as your Lord and Savior.
And receiving the love.
And receiving the love so you can be reconciled. God wants his family back.
Yeah.
And so he sent Jesus on a mission to recover his family by shedding his blood for us. And he just wants you to receive.
That's good. I might preach that. The recovery mission.
Oh, that is good. You can preach it now.
Yeah,
you can preach it.
The recovery mission.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what receiving Jesus Christ is all about. Amen?
So, when we respond to the love of God, because mm-hmm. he initiates this, he pursued us by sending Jesus. Now, when we say yes to him, he loves us so much, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And then, as you said, now we're in the family of God. When you respond to the love of God and say yes to Jesus, now you're in the family of God. 1 John 3:1. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Behold, said, what kind of love is this? That somebody as sinful as me, somebody as depraved as me, somebody as wretched as me, somebody as backward as me, somebody as rebellious as me, as we are or were, that God allows us to be in his family and calls us his sons. Yeah. And sons means now he gives us all the rights and privileges. Now watch this. Watch this. It's going to make some people think. God, we are as much, when we get saved, we are as much a son of God as Jesus is.
That's a thought. That's powerful.
And we have the same rights that Jesus has.
Yes.
Glory to God.
It's awesome.
Okay. The closest Paul could say it, he said, is the spirit of adoption. But then he has to make it a little deeper. He says, we've been engrafted in. Mm-hmm. Okay? So watch this. When you've been grafted in, okay, I taught on this a few years ago. You know, they got plants that once you, that plant, you can break off a piece of it. Mm-hmm. But now when you plant it, it comes engrafted with the others, and nobody, you would ever know that this one was brought in from someplace else. God engrafts us into his family and watch it and make us look like him, and you don't look like a stepchild.
Right, right.
And he doesn't treat us like stepchildren.
Amen.
And so the scripture says, behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I didn't write the scripture down. But then he goes on to say, he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Because he loved us.
Man, that's so good right there. Yeah.
Man, I'm a son. He gave the spirit of adoption. We can say Abba Father because he loves us. Now I'm a son of God. I got all the rights and privileges that of Jesus.
Right.
I'm rich. I'm healed.
Right.
I got the right to everything that God gave Jesus.
Isn't that awesome? Not tomorrow, not next year when you get it all together. But once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now, at that moment, you become a son of God. And you have all the rights and privilege as anyone that's been saved for 40 years, 20 years, 30 years. You have just as much rights as them. You ought to put a high five hand up there in the message box. Say, Lord, I thank you. That's me. That I am a son of God. I have all the rights and privilege. Come on now. That is so awesome.
You know, and as I was just talking about that, about us being sons of God because he loves us like that and making us part of his family. When Jesus prayed the real Lord's Prayer, mm-hmm. in John 17, among the things that he says in John 17, verse 24, he says, Father, I will that thou also, whom thou hast given me, that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And then he says, O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou sent me, and I declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Jesus said, I'm praying, Father, that they experience the same love.
That's so
God doesn't love us less than he loved Jesus.
No, he does not.
We are joined. That's why the Bible says, man, it's so good. We're joint heirs.
Yeah, we're joint heirs.
We're not sub-heirs.
Joint
heirs. We're joint heirs. Now, you didn't understand that whole concept of being a joint heir, and particularly when the scripture is writing about that to people from the Jewish tradition. Come on, we know going all the way back to Esau and Jacob, that the firstborn was more special.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The firstborn had the blessing.
Right.
The firstborn had the birthright.
Mm-hmm.
Luke 15, the sons.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Father, give me the younger said, give me that what falls to me. He knew that what falls to him wasn't the same as what goes to the older son.
Right.
Because the older got more.
Right.
Y'all listening to me here.
Okay.
But because God loves us so much, when we get saved, we now become joint heirs.
Yeah.
We get the same portion that Jesus gets.
That's so good. This is awesome, y'all.
He loves us like that. I mean, I want you to comprehend.
He wants us to receive that love and understand that you're not subpar or you less worthy of his love. And sometimes, depending on what you experienced in life, it could be a hard concept for you to wrap your brain around that God loves you just as much as he loved his son, Jesus, so much so that he made us joint heirs, my good, of his love. And we all can understand how much he loved Jesus. And we know that there was nothing he would hold back from Jesus or nothing he wouldn't do for his son. We understand that, but can we understand the same thing regarding us, that there is nothing God will hold back from you? There's nothing that can stop God from loving you.
Amen.
That God wants you to understand this and receive his love so you don't walk out your life with him feeling less worthy, having guilt, having shame or condemnation. You would never think of Jesus having any condemnation. You would never imagine Jesus walking his life living in shame. You said, no, that's God's son. There's no shame he has. Well, that's the same type of love that God has for you, that his love will surround you and deal with anything in your life that you feel is unworthy. His love covers it.
Amen.
And heals it.
That scripture from Romans 8, what I've been talking about here. It says, Romans 8, starting verse 15 through 17, it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, mm-hmm. but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I got a daddy. Mm-hmm. We were illegitimate. But now God is our father mm-hmm. as much as he is Jesus' father.
Wow,
okay, I'm in. Now, watch this. If he's as much as our father, as much as he was Jesus' father, uh-huh. I'm going a little deeper. Surely he's much as our father as he was the Jewish people's father.
Well, yeah.
Well, they're God's special people. You're God's special people.
So are you.
We have received the spirit of adoption. Verse 16. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Here we go. Verse 17. And if children, mm-hmm. then heirs. Then he says, heirs of God. But Paul says, I'm saying heirs, but it's a little deeper than that. No, you're heirs of God. No, it's a little deeper than that. I mean, I want you to really understand. And joint heirs with Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus didn't get a bigger portion. We are joint heirs with Christ. Everything he has, we have, and we have a right to.
Wow.
We have to receive it by faith.
The greatest commandment tells us to love God with everything we have and to love others as ourselves. In this teaching, Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marcia Bailey discuss love as it pertains to loving God, loving others, and loving ourselves. To order this message, call 877-798-5433 or go to www.rightdirection.info.
As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible Study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.